Blog Talk Radio.
Serving up the beats and making it hot.
Making it hot.
It's DJ IQ.
Runway, Pisa.
I can be a freak. I can. I can be a freak. 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 I can be a freak.
Hello.
I can be a freak. 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 I can be a freak every day of every week.
This is something that I love. Listen, I'm about to teach. Every single girl should embrace that in the freaky freak. Don't be scared, don't be shy. If you gotta let it breathe, I can give instructions if you like to hear me speak. Let me see those handcuffs off. Let me see that never gear. Kiss and tuck and pull his hair. Breaking your bitch in here.
Hello? Hello?
Put your hands together on the bass. The real.
To the real.
Wait, wait, hold on, wait. The legendary.
The legendary. Kelly Mizrahi.
Hey, Cabbage, you're on, honey.
Hi, baby. I didn't hear you. I mean, I was waiting for the text, honey.
Yes, no, I hit you up on Yahoo on the on, honey. Go ahead and talk, honey.
Okay, hi everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we're going to be picking up from last week. If we can get some callers, Kelly, if you see Derek on, let me know because he's running a little late from school. That's about it. So this week, y'all, we need callers. I mean, I can talk all day, but give me something to talk about. Call in, find out, you know, if there's any question from any time, you know, a wild bitch, I'll be going for that. But y'all got to talk to me for me to help you out or to even give you any kind of information or disseminate any information to you guys. So just call in. And if you're online, push one. That's all I want to say. So, Kelly, did you see Derek yet? But anyway, So, how was everybody's weekend? Mine was pretty great. Mine was pretty good. I didn't get to go to the Avisu Ball, which I'm very upset about, but I was there. I just couldn't get in. So, Derek, are you there?
No, it's Cindy. Cool.
Huh?
It's Cindy Alzumba.
It's him?
Cabbage is B-Y.
Oh, hi, baby. What's going on?
Nothing. Where was you on Sunday?
I had to sacrifice going to let Tuna and all of them go because, you know, she was on the top 10. And there was people here from out of town that wanted to go. And the car that I had wouldn't fit all of us. So me and Joseph decided to stay home.
Y'all are so late. Why didn't you just call me? If it came through, I wanted her to come through. I'm so late. I'm over it.
Have my phone number?
I have your phone number. You know the girls is acting funny on Sunday, so I paid it. But I got it. If not, I can get it from Juicy or one of them.
Not my new phone number.
Okay, but I could just call Tuna and have Tuna text it to me.
Right. Call Tuna. She got it.
Yeah, I'd be sad. But anyway,
okay.
I'm about to get ready to go to Vogue Night.
Are you going to Vogue Night tonight? I wanted to go, but after the show, I'll probably be tired. After I smoke me a blunty, yeah.
I had 8 blunts just now with the trays just there. I'm over it. I'm ready to go. I'm trying to hang out with boys. I act like the trays when I'm in drag, not to my cue.
Let me ask you a question. Since I've got you on, can you give me a wild moment in ballroom? I mean, something that really gave you from there. You better work, bitch.
I mean, let me tell you who gave me a wild moment every time in the ballroom scene. Every time I step in the ballroom scene, it's Mother Sinclair.
From New Jersey?
Yes, from New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
The drag. She just makes me know all the time. And I mean, that's like epitome of best dress. Me know me from coming from a fashion world. Like, she gives me, like, illusion. Like, a lot of girls get putting gowns on and stones like that and, like, come out with best dress. That's not best dress, girl. Like, you know what I mean? But she really gives me epitome of best dress, and that's what I like about her all the time. Like, I live up to her.
I think that she is wonderful to be a dry skin babe. I think she's the next Pagan Prada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think she's wonderful. I've always admired her. I mean, really admired her to a point where I wish that she was in the House of Ebony because I think she's a lovely black babe. But
thank you.
Wherever she's at, it's good being a Saint-Cloud, I guess, for her because they're Jersey-based, and she gets along with them. And I guess Sean is a pretty good father to her, or is a good father to her. So, I mean, but yeah, that is, she is a wild bitch to me. To be a dark-skinned, tall, lanky, lovely bitch, she is a wild, wild bitch.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any more? Do you have another one? Since you're so inclined in the fashion world.
And I got something else I want to say about Kelly. I just love her. Tell Kelly, I love you. Like, it's no shit. Like, you change a lot of girls. And like, you teach everybody it's not always good to be, it's the confrontational. And I just tell Kelly I love her for that. It's no shade. Like,
okay. I have another call on, honey. So thank you for calling in and get my number from Tuna.
All right, bye.
Okay, baby. Bye-bye. Next caller, 773-540.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Fine and you, sweetheart.
I was calling because I wanted to know about Jody Balenciaga.
Who?
Jody Balenciaga, sex siren.
Okay, what about her?
Not her. Did she lose?
I don't know who you're talking about, sweetie. So if you got a you said I don't understand what you're talking about, sweetie. I can't hear you. So when your phone is really breaking up. But go ahead. What did you say again?
I'm asking anybody that went to the Evisu Ball, did he win or did he lose?
I'm not. I didn't. Unfortunately, baby, I didn't go. But that's oh. I know who this is. I didn't go, baby. I'm very upset that I didn't go. I didn't go. Outside. They weren't letting any more people in.
What about
but
the
I'm sure throughout the night, or if you get a chance when Kelly comes back on, I'm gonna ask her. I'm gonna make sure I remember it. And I'm gonna ask her. Okay.
I really appreciate it because I need you to do that for me, sister.
No problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Private caller, are you there?
Hold on.
Private caller? Hello, private caller, are you there? Gone. Okay, so I guess there's no more phone calls right now, Kelly. So if anybody can call in and tell that person, did this person win? Feel free to call in because I wasn't at the Evisu Ball, and I'm just so sorry I wasn't, but I just was not at the Evisu Ball. So I can't even tell you who, except for a few people, I can't even tell you my own house members who won. And I was really disgusted because I was waiting outside for an hour, and the guy kept telling me, kept telling all of us, sorry, no more, it's full to capacity, and I was really upset about it, but I didn't make it, guys. I'm so sorry. Private caller, are you there? Hello, private caller? Hello, private caller? Are you there? I guess you're gone too. But anyway, I'm looking for Derek's number. I'm looking for Derek right now. So, because he has some things that he wanted to get up on here and say, as he usually does. The only reason why I use Derek is because we grew up together as kids. I mean, we came up since 1980. So, you know, I mean, and in Brooklyn. So we were like kind of those A-train, three-train, four-train people that, you know, went to the Village, and we took the A-train. So West 4th Street was on top. So we always met up with each other. We know each other pretty well, and we get along great. So that's the reason why he's always up here. But, I mean, if anybody else chooses wants to call in, and, you know, that's from back in the days or even from now, and you got something that you need to say, I mean, come on up. I'll be more than happy to hear. I mean, I can learn, too, now. Make no mistakes. Just because I've been out a little while longer than you, that doesn't mean I cannot learn from you. So let's go on to one of my wow moments. Let me get my hot red notebook. One of my wild moments was seeing Tracy Africa walk runway against Cat Eyes Continental. So Cat Eyes Continental was Big Girls Runway, and Tracy Africa was Midget. And I watched these girls battle in the Mark Ballroom for like a good 15 minutes. And if you think about it, if you're a person that walks runway, and you think about it, 15 minutes of walking is like 6 minutes of fighting. It is long and hard, and trust me, after you're finished, you're wild. But these two bitches walked themselves into a backflip and into a frenzy. And I think that Tracy Africa was just like the epitome of femme queen runway, femme queen face. She just had so much style and class. Another one that was like her that did not walk runway, that I just lived for as a female figure, was Tiny Cartier also. But Tracy Africa is like the epitome of what you expect a femme queen to be. And this is what we need more of, you know, in the ballroom scene. But that night between Cat Eyes Continental and Tracy Africa was like everything to me. And I'm not even into runway like that, but femme queen categories always seem to wow me. If anybody has anything to say about any category, any female figure category that they just love, or maybe call in and tell me your favorite femme queen. And, you know, give me something to work with. Oh, we have a caller. 404-454. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Kelly. This is Sean calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I was just calling to give a shout-out to the House of Mizrahi and Gail Kanati's family for the recent loss that happened to her. I was just calling to give my condolences. I just know Ms. Gail of being a very good person and a person that really kept it real, so I was just calling to give my condolences. I just found out about the loss.
This is Cabbage, but Gail has been my girlfriend. Oh, my God. Me and Gail have been friends 16, maybe 17 years. And when I heard about it, it really, really disturbed me because I just saw Gail. In fact, I saw Gail at Kelly's Cookout uptown,
uh-huh.
And then I was in Atlanta for the holidays, and me and Ms. Gail hung out and smoked a blunt, and we was in 708 parking lot. And it's just gags to me to even think that she passed away. And thank you, and I want to also send my condolences out to the House of Mizrahi from the House of Ebony and every other house that didn't call in. Gail was a bad, bad bitch, and I loved her. At the $10,000
yes,
ball, Mama made got me so full, and she set me so down. She's one person in the ballroom scene that will definitely be missed, especially in the Atlanta area. But thank you, caller. And do you have any wild bitches or anything like that?
Do I have any wild what?
Any wild bitches moments, like something in the ballroom scene that wowed you until like it always stuck with you.
Well, one moment that I can always remember in the ballroom scene that occurred would be, overall mother, Shannon Kahn, her and her accomplishments, about her only walking 2 years and being able to make it to where she is today, has definitely been a wow for a big come up for a femme queen. And just like you, I love femme queen categories, especially face, runway of anything like that.
Shannon Kahn, you said she's only been walking 2 years?
Well, I've known her to, like as far as, like, storming, really, for 2 years. I mean, she's been out longer than 2 years, but it's just for it's just storming and being able to her to accomplish her status as of where she is today.
Okay, she's been consistent in the last 2 years. Yeah, she has, and believe it or not, I live for Shannon Kahn. She's, like, one of the D.C. girls. I mean, even though I miss Ayanna, I think there is no lovelier babe than Ayanna and Shanice in D.C.
True.
I mean, those are the two bitches that, if they're to be stopped, those are the two bitches that must be stopped. I think that Ayanna is a lovely bitch and Shanice, but I think Ms. Shannon Kahn definitely, definitely, definitely will fill Ms. Ayanna's shoes to the best of her ability and to all the House of Kahn's expectations. I think she... that was a very good decision from all of them to make Ms. Shannon Khan overall mother. I think she's a babe. I really think that she should be a triple threat babe. But she loves plays now, and I guess it's great, but I just think she's a triple threat babe. I think she's so sexy to me, and I lived for her dress at the Carnival in Atlanta. But Carla, thank you very much for your shout out and for your condolences. And I'm just at awe with about Ms. Gill. Trust me, I am. I am really at awe about Ms. Gill. But thank you for calling, and please call again. Private caller, are you there?
Hey, Cabbage.
Hey, baby, who's this? I mean, if you choose to say your name or not.
Oh, no, this is Lisa. I want to send my condolences out to the house of Mizrahi and to the house of Blahnik. And I want to know, what was your first time, when was your first time seeing Moldavia, and what was your favorite Moldavia face moment?
My favorite Moldavia face moment was at the Mark Ballroom, and I think it was Mabel Milan's ball. And I had known and seen Moldavia many years before that. But that night she came in with that cocktail dress on. I never seen a black babe like that with a bone snatch. You know, not too many femme queens can do a bone. She was bone snatched. And Miss Moldavia was sitting Mark Ballroom, Pendarvis ball. She was sitting. I'm talking about sitting beyond. And she was one of the dark skin girls that I just loved. And she could walk a many of things. You know what I'm saying? But I just thought Miss Moldavia, she just sold it to me. Faith, she owned it. She just owned face to me, and she would emote in such a way, and so you would just, it would be like Dorothy and Wonderland. I mean, it was just wonderful. I mean, and if you think about it, Dorothy and Wonderland, Wonderland was Alice, and Dorothy was the Oz, so you know it was wonderful.
Oh, goodness. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Next caller, 585-490. Carla, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, do you have a wow moment in ballroom?
Well, actually, this is Mother Kiki Manolo Blahnik. I wanted to send my condolences out to the house of Mizrahi as well as to my family in the house of Blahnik. Just keep your heads up, and, you know, there's a rough time for the ballroom community, and I just wanted to say if everyone stays positive and together that we'll all get through this.
Yeah, you know, I just heard about the Blahnik tragedy just today, like maybe an hour and a half ago, because I'm dealing with a lot with my mom right now, so I've been going back and forth to the hospital. But I just heard about it from Victoria Prodigy, and she was like, what happened, and I haven't heard about it yet. So I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to call Camaro myself and extend my hand and condolences for me personally and the House of Ebony when I get up. I hope it's not too late, but I'm going to extend my hand to Camaro himself later on when I get off the show. Because I just found out about the Blahnik tragedy. And, I mean, I'm just like, I knew about Ms. Gill, but me and Ms. Gill have been girlfriends for years, years, years. The Blahnik tragedy, I've not known her personally, but I think she was a sweet person, and I mean, and it's just anybody in the ballroom scene. I don't care what house it is. When something happens to them, I think it's really, 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 really tragic because we're losing so many people in the ballroom scene. You'd be really shocked that I've been out since 1980, and I've lost so many friends and enemies. And people that weren't my friends, but I just knew them. And I could go down a list that would really make you depressed. But thank you for your condolences, honey. I mean, really thank you for your condolences. And please, happy that you have anything else that you would like to come up and say, please call in and push one. And, it's wonderful. Okay? Thank you. Next caller. 646 Are you there?
What's up, Mommy? It's me, Sandy.
Hi, baby. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just calling in to send my condolences to Ms. Rais and the House of Blahnik. And also, my wow moment was, even though it's recent, it was Sunday, just the whole fact of the whole Jack Bull becoming like how it was back in the days when I first came out, like in 2004, 2005. It was definitely good to see everybody come back together and just be, you know, nice to each other and no shade and none of that drama and no faggot bullshit. It was just really interesting to see that. So that was like a wild moment for me because it really made me want to come back and continue to walk.
And Troy?
Yes, that was definitely my wild moment.
And turn it out. Well, you know what?
Yes.
I didn't make the Rumble Ball, and I've made a many of them, and I love them. It's just that I run a catering business, honey.
Right.
I run a catering business, and, you know, it's like I don't get a chance to stay out late like I used to anymore.
Right.
I don't. You know what I'm saying? So when I do get a chance, I'm definitely going to come. In fact, since I've gotten my, you know, my newfound iconship, I'm going to be walking a little bit more because I'm going to a new category also. So I'm about finished with Olway Performance. But, I mean, that has really nothing to do with it because I intend on still walking anyway. And I just hope and pray that the ballroom scene, I mean, from this show and Kelly's show and from all the coalitions getting together, I think the ballroom scene is slowly changing.
Going in the right direction, right.
You know, we've got new fathers like Eric Milan. He's a new father. And, I mean, Rodney is still there. The House of Ebony is getting a new fathers. I mean, and everybody, you know, Baldwin scene is turning over. And it's like it's coming into a different aura. We were in a little bump because I heard that the Izusu Ball was packed, and no fight. I heard it was really cordial.
Yes, it was.
It was nice. So what I heard, it was really nice. And congratulations to Kenny and Miss Kiana, and most definitely that organized bitch, Miss Jay Lynn. So and I saw her that night. And the House of Ebony extends the olive branch of congratulations on your successful ball. And I hope that everybody comes out for Roy Ball as same. Okay, Sammy.
All right, ma. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, baby.
All right.
Do I have any more callers? Let me see. No, I don't. So, anybody can, I don't know what happened, with the Blahnik. I have no idea. I just heard it today. And the person asked me, Victoria Prodigy, asked me, did I know the person? And I had to tell Victoria, I didn't know the person personally, but as seeing her, and every time she saw me, she spoke. When I was in Atlanta, she spoke. Even when I seen her, she spoke. So it's like we knew each other, but we were not girlfriends like that. But it doesn't make a difference. I'm really saddened at the point that we've lost somebody from the ballroom scene. And it's like this is really bad because, I mean, she was young. For me to be the age that I am and for her to, you know, be gone at her age, it's like, you know, not good. But, I mean, with everything, you know, things happen, and I'm just really at awe about the whole situation. Kelly, do we have any more callers or anything like that? Did you see Derek? No. Okay, so here, guys, since we've already been into the show 40 minutes, and I've got a few calls and it's everything, let's think and let's pick up on another category and or maybe even another agenda. Oh, wait a minute, we have a caller. 347-528, one of my kids.
Hey, Mom.
Caller, are you there?
Hey, Mom, how you doing? It's Eric.
Hi, baby. What's going on?
All right, I have two favorite wild moments. The one with Christina was a Revlon when she had on red hair. She walked at the Ebony Ball in the Bronx, and she played all the female figures that came out that night. But she had on all white with the real bright blonde on red hair. And the second one was when Tara.
Hold on, Eric. Let me tell you how far me and Christina go back. me and Christina go back to, oh God, for many years. But at one time, Miss Christina and I were away at girls' school, you know, for wayward girls. And we gave a production, and she was the only female figure in the production at that time at, you know, the school for wayward girls. And she turned it out. So you don't have to tell me about how sad Miss Christina can be. I've known Mama for years, and she's just one of those show-stopping girls. And the reason why I think she's like that, because she's not one of those girls that's always on the scene and always at a ball. I mean, you'll catch her at this ball. She chooses her balls very carefully. And she gets my respect 100%. Believe it or not, I just didn't feel at the $5,000 ball, I didn't think that Miss Christina put her heart into it. But then I turned around and see her at another function, and Mama turned it out. Anyway, you know, that's, you know. But anyway, what was your other one, sweetie?
Hello?
Yeah, what was your other wild moment?
My other one was with Tara Law when they did the latex woman. She did a grandpa's when they did runway as a house for her and some of her members. It was like with the big old flowers and then boxes and stuff like that at the latex for $5,000 or something like that.
I remember it like it was yesterday, and unfortunately it wasn't yesterday. But yeah, that was a wild moment. You know, there's so many wild moments, but I'm glad that everybody's bringing, I'm glad that you brought up that one. Because, you know, Tyra is another one that has been in the ballroom scene and has struggled for many years to make her name. And she's gone into HIV prevention, and she has a dance group, and she also does her shows. But she is really, really, really well-rounded. And, I mean, another one, we've been girlfriends for years, and what me and Tyler love with each other is we both like to drive. And me and Mama used to be on the highway, and at that time she had a Concord. I think it was a Concord. It was a big car, and me and Mama, she used to come to Baltimore. I used to catch her in Baltimore. We used to be coming down 95, the Jersey Turnpike. And at that time, and the guy might still be her lover, she had a boyfriend and a lover that was a mechanic. So he always made sure that any car that she was driving was in tip-top condition, and Mama proved the point that she was a fab-driving bitch, right along with being a real, she was real as rain, and on top of everything else, her runway was unstoppable at one time. I mean, it was her and Miss Vivica were two bad bitches to me. Miss Vivica and Miss Tara were two bad bitches that range on the same caliber to me.
Yeah.
I mean, those are wild. I mean, you went back? I'm not going to ask that, but I'm sorry.
When he did his did the bubble. Bernie.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anybody top that one yet. Even though Andre has had a lot of stunts, and he's another one that's been very creative. And don't you think that that those kind of categories should come back with that creativity? I mean, American Runway is wonderful because I like your American Runway just like I like a few other people's American Runway. But don't you think that it should be like more creative, and they should have categories like that more. And maybe you should start walking American Runway a little more.
That answer is...
I'm trying to tell you.
True.
So, Eric, thank you for calling in. You call in every week, and please keep calling, and tell a bunch of friends to call, if you know, like my other son, the one that's at work. Anyway, thank you, Eric. Love y'all. Kelly, do I have any more callers, sweetie? Sweetness. Yeah, everybody, you know one of the wild moments for me when, let me stop. When Kelly was out in the village getting ready to beat up. No, let me stop. But, anyway, any more callers, Kelly? Yes, I know, or maybe so. So if No, okay, so no. We don't have any more callers. Okay, audience and everybody out here, I'm getting ready to check the chat room to see what anybody, anybody got anything in the chat rooms that's good. But to be honest with you guys, I would like to talk about gay parents and house parents. And what would you determine? Oh, yeah, Miss Eve. Yeah, Miss Eve Prada, another bad bitch. But I would like to talk about house parents and your gay parents, because there is a big difference in the two. And I would like to find out, what do you feel that the difference is? Like, to me, okay, I had a house mother and I had a gay mother. Okay, and I respected both of them as such. My house mother was Richard, and she was also my house grandmother on top of that, because she was my mother's house mother also. But until my mother, which was Lonnie Ebony, were two different, and they played two different roles in my life. And even with them, with those two playing different roles in my life, they, to me, they were different, and the way they ruled things and the way they said things to me and the way how they handled me. Ms. Richard was a million, Sean Richards, yeah. But they were different. So if anybody has anything to say about your gay parent and your house parent, And you know, somebody just typed in and said, my house father is my gay father, but my gay mother is from another house. Believe it or not, sweetie, I have children that are garçons, prodigies. I have children that are my gay children that are from different houses. Like Joseph. When Joseph became my child, he was a con. And so it's different. Who's your house father? Eric? Who's Eric's house father? Well, Eric is my gay son, and his house father is Rob Chanel. Me and Rob Chanel share a child, which is Eric. So does that answer your question, Pioneer? If y'all guys ask me questions on here, I'll read them off and answer them for you on here, if that's safer for you. Okay. Just like me and Michael Garcon, we share two kids together, and we consult about our kids. He's asking Eric Allure. Oh, okay. I don't know, but it's a difference. Ooh, kinky. Okay, so, I mean, I think they play two different roles. Your house mother deals with your ballroom accolades and your ballroom career, and even sometimes with your personal. But then your gay parent, or your parent, because I don't feel like I'm Joseph's gay parent. Okay, and I don't feel that I stopped suddenly when I started reading things. Joseph is not my gay child. He's just my child. That's the way I see Joseph. And that's it. Okay, here's a good question. My house mother and my house father are from other houses. But that's all right. If they give you what you want, it doesn't make a difference what house they're from. I mean, if they give you exactly what you need, and they're supportive of you, a parent is a parent, no regardless of what house they're in. Okay, my gay father isn't in the scene. And that's fine, too. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to have a gay father that's in the scene. Because believe it or not, my gay father is not in the scene like that. I mean, at one time, he was a Ferragamo, and now he is a Revlon, but he lives in Texas. Daryl Ferragamo used to be Ferragamo, now Revlon. It lives in Texas, but that's been my gay father since I was 17, 18 years old. So I don't know any other gay father. Larry, on the other hand, has always been my house father, and he's always been very, very supportive of me, even with my education. I mean, It's been fun. Okay, so let's see what other questions. Y'all are moving too fast. I don't have a gay mother or gay father. And eventually, Queen of Nature, you will. And if you don't find one, you will. You just got to find somebody that is compatible with you. It's funny how I get gay kids. We usually just bind and melt together. Like, I've got two new kids that are kind of older than me. Like, Brenda is my youngest baby. And Miss Brenda's a kook, but I love her because she's always honest with me. Even though she does a lot of crazy shit, she's always honest with me. Then I have two new kids that they're roommates, and I love them because they're upfront with me, and I guess they're just different, and they're older, so there's something to talk about. One is Bless Garcon, which he's from another house, and the other one is Kenyatta, which is now a 007, but it doesn't really make a difference what house they're from. They're still my kids, and I love them, and when they come over, we eat. Sometimes Kenyatta can call me and ask me questions about what's going on, about a light bill and where to go, and this is how she does it, and this is how he does it, and I love it. Bless will call me and ask me, well, Ma, how do you make so-and-so, or how do you do such-and-such? And I like that because I feel like somebody reaches out to me for my advice, and if I'm not 100% sure about it, I'll research it first, and then I'll tell them, let me get back to you on it. And that's what I think mothers are supposed to do. I try to keep up. I'm mother to many, but I'm a support group to everyone that comes to me. I don't care who it is. Let's see. Parents can be your gay parents as well. It's all on what type of bond y'all end up having. But you can have different people from different walks of life in the scene or not. And that's true. I mean, not everybody is supposed to have a gay parent that's a gay parent. If they're a parent to you, they can be straight. They can be a fag hag. They can be anything. As long as y'all are compatible, y'all communicate with each other. I mean, it's kind of funny to me that I am really good friends with, everybody knows that my bestie is Alexander Ebony, which is Alexander from Baltimore, that originally from Philadelphia. That's my bestie. Okay, but I have another girlfriend that we melted like in the last 5 or 6 years, and his name is Chaz, and he lives up in Manhattan, and we have been really, 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 really good friends, and I love him. And right now, he helps me with my radio show. He helps me promote my radio show. He helps me with my catering business. He's the one who schedules all my appointments and everything. He discusses the prices with me and everything. So it's really kind of different when you have a person that really cares for you, and that's not my child, that's my sister, and, you know, I love him. Just like my only female figure daughter is Miss Naima, and, you know, she can be a handful, but I love her. I love her because she's always been real to me, and she always leans on me when she needs me, and she's really, really, really a good friend and a really good person, and I know her from Baltimore from when she was someone else. And even now, when she moved to New York, we got along great. Yes, you definitely help with them light bills, Auntie, because you damn sure helped me with mine back in 2000. Thank you. I know who that is, and I don't think I want to say the name out, but it's already you and Alexander. Wow. Okay, I never wanted to have kids, but now I see a need to give back to these younger kids. Need role models, encouragement, and guidance. You're 100% right. I didn't become a parent like that because my first child is, my first two kids, one is Jason, that used to be Jason Bizarre, and my first child is Corey, which is Corey Ebony, and he lives in Baltimore, Maryland, but he's originally from here, from New York, Flatbush, and we just hit it off when I moved to Baltimore, and even before I moved to Baltimore, when he was with me, I would really like for you to be my mother. And I was like, why? I mean, listen, he got rid of because you just, you know, I can talk to you, I can call you at any time. And we have discussed some intimate secrets of his, and I was really shocked that he would even share something like that with me, because at that time, I was in a point in my life where I would never tell another homosexual or another fag things that he had told me. And I asked him, do you trust me with those things? And he got burnt. You're about the only person that I would trust with it. And I was really shocked. And then it got to a point where he started calling me Ma and Ma. And then I have some other ones like Eric. He's really bad with it. Because he'll call me Ma in the middle of a supermarket, and everybody turns around and looks at me, and I'd be like, oops. Oh, my God. Now, here's Naima telling me that she feels that I'm neglecting her. Now, mind you, I can get on the phone with Naima, and we can talk about everything from her son to her mom's job to the Butch Queens to Facebook, and now she feels like I'm neglecting her. I love you, Naima. I love you with all my heart. But I have a lot of kids, and you're a big, big girl now, so if it's not an emergency, I have younger kids, and you know I have a lot of house business to attend to. So let me go back to the, because I'm having fun going to the, senior seasons are a lot of work. I was too, and they keep me busy. I don't think some queens are no different than anybody else. I think it's just what you can take. And because I know Naima for so long, I guess she's my only some queen daughter. She's not the only daughter that I have that's a female figure, but she's the only some queen daughter that I have. I have a few butch queen in drags and a few that play in drags or whatever the case might be. But she's just the only one that calls me mother and calls me at night, and when she was sick and when she didn't feel good, and if she had a cold, or, you know, if she needed me to come over and just, I mean, she was having problems and somebody wanted to jump her in her building and stuff like that. There was that's the difference with me and Naima. Me and Naima have a bond. Naima has been to my house and used to do my mother's hair, my biological mother. So, I mean, It's different. It's the way we bonded together. And yes, I love you too, Naima. I love you with all, you know I do. So that's not even a problem. Okay. Yes, female figures are a lot of work. Lord knows they are. And then moans be sending them through it. I've dealt with that with female figures. My mother became a female figure when she was a butch queen at first. And everybody, we have a caller. 347-221. Caller, are you there? 347-221. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. Hello. Caller, okay, that caller dropped. Next caller, 609-233. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Kevin, just not there. Not there, Evan. What's going on?
Hi, baby.
How are you?
What's going on? Where are you at now? Where are you, Atlantic City still?
Yeah, I'm still out here. I just had a little question. Like, I have two gay fathers, but no gay mom. Like, I wanted to know if you think it's a problem with that. Like, instead of having the gay mom, just had two gay fathers or whatever.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. In the real world, or in any other walk of life, what about children that have just one father? Or some children that are raised with two fathers. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, do they support you as in, like, mentally? You know what I'm saying? Are they there for you? Do y'all get along?
Yeah, like, one is in the ballroom scene, you know, my gay father, and I have another one that's not in the ballroom scene. His name is Sean. And it's like, Mike is like the big dad. Like, you feel me? He do all the talking to me, everything. But Sean is the one I be with the most. It's like we do all the fun stuff together. We go out. It's like we got more of a bond because we're closer in age or whatever. But, I mean, I love them both the same. You feel me?
And you're supposed to. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having two gay fathers. Some people might be jealous to have two gay fathers like that. I mean, I was fortunate to have two fathers. Gal, for one, is such a nurturing. And Larry is so nurturing and so, but there's a difference because Gal would let me get away with murder. Larry wouldn't let me get away with anything. I mean, I used to try to duck out of school and everything. And Larry used to be on my, I was one of his biological children. So, I mean, and believe it or not, Richard and Larry is the reason why I stayed in school. You know what I'm saying? High school and college. And I picked the career because it was like, he used to tell me all the time. I used to tell him, oh, I want to pull crap and I want to change it out. He's like, well, how can you pull crap and you can't read? You want to pull crap and you can't write. And you know, how long do you think that crap is going to last? And he used to tell me that all the time. And I used to give him used to give her a C. You ain't got no answer for me. Take your ass to school. Because if you don't go to school, I'm going to beat you up. Then Daryl would tell me, okay, if you don't go to school, you know me and you gonna get into it. And I knew that Daryl wouldn't do anything to me, but I knew that he would just keep hawking on it and hawking on it and hawking on it and hawking on it. And so I was so excited, boys are in school, let me go to school, fuck it, I'll see the girls later. I used to go to school, and then after that I could go to the village and hang out with the faggots or go boosting or whatever the case might be. And that's how I got through school. But the reason why I got through school is because there's boys in school, and I like boys. Okay, Nadia?
Yes.
All right, baby. Just get my number from anybody and give me a call so we can talk about that. That's a really interesting one. And, you know, me and you always have good, intelligent conversations. And I have another caller, okay?
I definitely will. Have a good night.
Okay, baby. Bye-bye. Caller 347-221. You're on the air with the Unfortunate Icon. Hi. Caller, are you there? Caller. 347-221. Does this caller keep hanging up on me? Do you like me? What have I done? But anyway, our segment now is about parents. The difference between gay, and my phone is going off, gay parents and house parents and how they differ. And how they differ. So if any calls.
How's on one moment, Cabbage? I want to interrupt you for one moment, and I want to send my condolences out to the House of Blahnik, and I want to thank everybody for sending their condolences out to the House of Mizrahi. And on a happier note, I want to wish the legendary Aurora East Coast mother of the House of Khan, Nicole Khan, a happy birthday. Today is her birthday. And Nicole, if you're out there and you're listening, this song goes out to you. Goes out to Nicole Khan, and the next caller is 347-221. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays. 347-221, you're live on the air.
Hello.
Okay, you're not live. Yes, you're live on the air.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, you on the air.
Yeah, what up?
Okay, so do you have a question about gay parents and house parents, or do you have any gay parents, or do you have a house? I mean, you know, that's what the segment is about. Oh, do you have a question? Period. Hello, caller. Hello, Kelly. Okay, well. But anyway. Bye. Okay, but anyway, you guys, I guess I'm getting a lot of phone calls telling everybody that my kids are telling me that I'm not saying hi to them. Hi, Mark, freak. But anyway, Halloween party. But anyway, you guys, you know, having a gay parent is like a support unit. It's someone that you can rely on. And my kids, I try to help them out as much as I can. I mean, sometimes my hands are tied because there's only but so much I can do. I'm only one person, and I'm not terribly rich or terribly wealthy. So, I mean, I cook real well, and I guess I show my love through cooking. But, I mean, we can sit here. Whatever I got, I mean, you know, so it's different when, you know, you're a gay parent and, you know, they come up with, sometimes you get some of the strangest questions, like about things that happened back in the days, like how was ballroom and how was the village and what did so-and-so look like? Like one of my kids asked me, what did Moldavia look like? So I went digging for pictures, like pictures that I got of Kelly and Nicole and all of them. And I mean, it's like, it was shame for us back in the day, but it is also fun. And I get to relate that to my kids. And mind you, I tell them the good right along with the bad. Because I wasn't always Miss Cabbage. I mean, you know, I did lead another life before, you know, ballroom and everything like that. But it's always good to be well-rounded and be able to tell your kids, if they ask about ballroom or they ask about the gay life, wow, it's had its ups and downs. But I've had my fun. I've really, really had my fun with this, and I'm trying to get Derek on the line now, but yeah, it's like something that you pass it on, just like somebody said in the chat room that you know, there's a lot of people that we need to, you know, help and pass on, and a lot of young individuals, a lot of young adults. Okay, here's one. Sometimes that might be the only meal them kids would get. So that's what a mom should do. Yeah, you can say that. And then again, you can't say that. But I think, like, when I have dinner at my house, usually on Sunday, just like Kelly, I'm like this Sunday, I must have had like 8, maybe 9 or 10. I had 3 or 4 from South Carolina. My son was here, Jay, from South Carolina, and his crew, which was Trent and JJ. And my regular child, which is Joseph, which is always here, and Tim, Big Tim, overseer for the House of Ebony, he was here. And I made oxtails, and I made jerk chicken, peas and rice, macaroni and cheese, and candied yams. And we just sat around and had a real, real good time. Caller, 240-581, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I wanted to make a comment.
Of course, honey. Come on.
And that is, okay. Now, you know, I have a couple of gay kids, you know, that look up to me and that I give advice to, that, you know, I talk to, I console, and they trust me with a lot of information and everything like that. And my definition of a gay parent, whether it's, you know, a female figure or whether it's a butch queen or whatever like that. But my definition of a gay parent is somebody that can talk to you beyond ballroom politics or ballroom things. If I can talk to you about certain issues that may be bothering me, you know, whether it's my job, whether it's my house, whether it's my child, whatever it is, as long as it's not dealing with anything homosexual or anything gay or about getting stoned or going to the next ball or doing this and that and the other, then I consider you as a role model. I consider you as a gay parent. Now, I think what a problem that I'm seeing, that I have been seeing over the past couple of years, is that these butch queens and that these femme queens or female figures or whatever like that, they see these young kids that really don't have any type of leadership or anything going on for them, and they get a hold of them, and they say, well, I want to be your mother, or I want to be your father, but all they really want to do is have the child and turn the child out. But they're the first ones to tell these kids, well, don't talk to so-and-so, don't be with so-and-so, because they got the gift that keeps on giving, or they'll do this to you, or they'll do that to you, but at the same time, you're trying to have me, and you might have the gift to keep on giving, and you give it to me, but you don't want nobody else to give them another strain. You know what I'm saying? I think that if you're going to be a leader in whether they're young or whether they're old or in somebody's life, take that leadership role seriously. Be that leader. Guide them. Talk to them. Nurture them. Tell them the right things and lead them away from the things that you see that they might be doing that you used to did that you don't want them to do. Don't be calling yourself a so-called leader and you really want to have them or you really want to turn them out. I think that twists it up, and I think that turns a lot of people out, whether it's a house father, whether it's a house mother, or whatever the case may be, or you be like, oh, I want you to be in the house of so-and-so, in the house of so-and-so, because I see you there, but all you really want to do is have the child. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? That's how a lot of people get the game fucked up, when you take on these roles. And another thing I want to say to end it, I don't think somebody who's the same age as you need to be my gay father, my gay mother. If you're 17 and you're 17 or you're 16 and this child is 15 or 14, I'm not going to be calling you mother and I'm not going to be calling you father.
Well, you're the same age, Naima, and you know, I'm your mother. Don't you try it. Try it.
Okay. No comment.
Okay, but anyway, Naima, let me explain something to you. In the many years that we've known each other, and we have sat down on St. Paul Street, and we have been on Calvert Street, and we used to speak to me. He's going to hi, Miss Honey. And I was going to hi, Daddy. Mm-hmm. How you doing? What you doing? Nothing. And we used to have conversations. Did you ever think that I was going to become your gay mother?
No.
Okay, then. But it happens like that. And I've never tried to have you. And I've never had any of my kids. Because I love my kids. When they become my kids, I think of them as different. They're a part of me. And I have a lot of kids now, believe it or not. But they're a part of me. And I take time out individually for every last one of you, if I can, and when I get a chance. Like, I know sometimes that you get a little frustrated with me when I don't answer the phone, but now I got a cell phone, so you can always keep a track of me now. I got rid of my cell phone because of my last relationship, but now I'm back with my cell phone and everything, and you can more or less call me when you want to now, Naima. See, you're spoiled, and I get that from you all the time, just like I get it from Mark.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I want to say something.
Go ahead, Mom Kelly.
Okay, because, you know, I have two kids that are my gay children. But before they became my gay children, okay, we played around. And after a while of playing around with them, I realized that it would not be beneficial for me to take and establish, you know, a relationship with this person. I see this person needed more guidance out of me, and so I made them my gay child. So I want to know, how do people feel about that situation? Because I felt that it would be better for me to be their mother than to be their lover, because they needed more guidance for me to guide them in the right direction. So I want to know, how do people feel about that situation?
Are you asking me my personal opinion about that?
I'm asking you your opinion, callers. I want to know.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. My personal opinion about that is, that's like connecting. And after a while, you realize that this person is not what you want in a lover, but they are the kind of person that you find that you know that you can give your hand out to. So it happens like that. It melts together like that. I think I got one like that. We never messed around. We met on a different note. And when we decided to, when I realized that, oh, yeah, I couldn't. And then he used to talk to me all the time, and he used to be real troubled. And I used to ask him all the time, you know, like, what's going on? And then he started calling me, you know, for different things. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it, as long as in the end that y'all know that y'all are parents and y'all take that seriously. You see what I'm saying, Kelly? So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I know, it's just the way you start out.
Now, how did you meet? You met them. That's the way it happened. And then they become your children. Who is anybody to say how somebody becomes your child? As long as time goes on, y'all remain mother and son or mother and daughter. You see what I'm saying? Don't, like, reserve yourself so you can have them later on. So one day y'all are sitting around watching TV, eating popcorn, and all of a sudden you can be like, let's have! You can be like, oh, no.
Oh,
yeah. I don't believe in that. I mean, I'm telling you, you know what I'm saying? So that's it. I mean, callers, anybody has any feedback on that? Anybody feels any kind of way about that? Hit us up and answer Kelly's question. Push it on. Everybody, but let me go back in the chat room because I see it's popping in there.
Hold on, it's another caller. 347-920. You're live on the Hill Classic Tuesdays.
What's up? I thought that was really honest, Kelly, because honestly, like, I think that a lot of times that's just how you come upon relationships that grow with people. You might be on that note, and it may turn out to be something totally different. So, I mean, even though some people might read you not feeling that, I think it was honest. But Cabbage, you was talking about food for a little bit, and this is my first time cooking collard greens, and I'm kind of gagging in this kitchen because these collard greens been cooking for like a few hours now, and I don't know.
For one, turn the fire down because I hear it boiling. Turn the fire down. I'm gonna tell you exactly what to do.
You can't boil collard greens and cabbage, honey. You have to steam it, honey.
To steam it. So what you do is turn the fire down, put the top on, and don't take the top off for at least 15 minutes, and you'll see the difference. And here's the trouble now. Do you have collard greens, mustard greens, spinach, or kale?
It's a mixture of collard and kale.
Okay, the trick of it was the kale is going to take longer than the collards. So you should have dropped the kale in first. But then again, you must chop the kale smaller than you chop the cabbage. Because believe it or not, mustard greens and collard greens come from the same thing. Kale is in the spinach family. So you have to cook that just a little while longer because that can be a little tougher. And now what you do is to even out everything, take you a half a spoon of sugar and sprinkle it in the pot and put the top on and give it 15 minutes and then you'll see. Then you can call me back.
Okay. Right.
Cooking on Tuesdays with cabbage. Okay?
All right. Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Say something?
Yeah, something.
I wanted to say something because I think a lot of people like, I know, like, I hear a lot of kids, probably closer to my age, talking about their parents is somebody who's their own age. But I will say that a lot of the girls, I think that sometimes older people, you know what I'm saying, you get older and you forget how it was when you was younger and how your girlfriends took care of you when something was going on with you, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of the girls, their girlfriends will march them down to get tested, to get whatever they need done, you know what I'm saying, as far as handling their business before any of their house parents or their gay parents will. So, something to put out
there. But there's a difference. That's not a gay parent. That's a sister.
You know what? I don't understand these children. So I don't understand these kids that have people that want to say that they're only 20 years old and their child is 17 years old. What wisdom or what guidance can a 20-year-old give a 17-year-old person because they're both experiencing the same thing at the same time? So what guidance can they give them? Because well, if that 17-year-old was to get kicked out of their house today or tomorrow, can they go to that gay parent and say, I need a place to stay, I need to sleep on your floor? They can't because that person's still living home with their parents.
Right. I mean, you're right.
So it's like a child leading a child. And I think I feel that can be very dangerous. And
hello?
Yes, I feel that can be very dangerous. I had to run outside and get Joseph's cat. The cat is 2 weeks old and the little ass is running outside. But I don't think that you can have a mature 17-year-old and you can have an immature 17-year-old. But still, I do not feel that a 17-year-old and a 17-year-old should be sisters or brothers. They shouldn't be, oh, this is my mother. And she's 17 and I'm 16 just because she bought me candy and she told me that, we should go out tonight at the ball, or she called my mother and told my mother that I'm going to be sleeping over at her house. No. But again, that is not a mother. That is a sister. You got to find somebody that's going to be responsible. That somebody, when something happens, you can run to them and get advice that you can kind of think about and don't have to worry about contemplating it, because you might have a feeling about it and they might have a different feeling about it. So to be honest with you, I think that a parent for a teenager should be somebody over 25. I just feel so. I think it should be somebody that has lived a little bit. And you being 17 and me being 17, regardless if you're homeless or I'm homeless and we're not and I take care of you, that's just being a sister, and that's great. But a parent, I think that's something that you need to take really seriously when you make somebody your parent. Okay?
I agree totally, but I mean, I did want to throw that out there, you know.
And you know what? And it's good that you do, because it's good to hear things from other people's point of view, because everything is important, believe it or not. Your point of view is important. It's not for anybody else, to me, because we're on a radio show to help you guys, you know, be able to express yourselves. And because I'm a little bit older than you, I can be a good auntie to somebody. I can be an auntie to anybody. And believe it or not, I'm an auntie to a lot of children. Foxy Milan, that's one of my nieces, and I love her down. And she has many kids, not as many kids as me, but she has a lot of kids, but she still calls me auntie. Ayanna Milan, I'm her auntie too. I'm her auntie. You know, I'm a lot of the kids' auntie because I'm a help. I'm not your mother. But I'm in place of your mother. If your mother's not there and there's something going on, I'm damn sure not going to let nothing happen to you. And I'm damn sure not going to lead you wrong. You see what I'm saying? Kelly's auntie to a lot of people. Because we've grown up in this ballroom scene, and we know what it can give. Just like in this gay world, we know what it can give. There's no trick that you can pull over my eyes too quickly, and you definitely can't pull it over Kelly's. So, I mean, they're responsible enough to take on these children. I've had kids live with me. I had to get up one morning and go to the hospital and sit in the hospital for 5 and 6 hours. Nobody knows my life. But, again, if I call you my child and you call on me for assistance, what can I do?
Please, don't talk about people living with you, honey. This is the first time I lived by myself in 15 years since I've been in the scene.
And you know what, Kelly, with me, I guess I'm just like my mother, because I had 3 living with me, and I got one now, and I didn't have any problem with the 3 that I had living with me or whatever the case might be, but the one I have now, he can be a hell of a fire when he wants to be, but I would feel right if Joseph lived anywhere else. Because I couldn't watch him the way I want to, even though he doesn't need a lot of guidance. But Joseph, sometimes he needs somebody to press him and sit on his back. And I give him that. And he respects me. That's the one thing about Joseph. Like all the rest of my kids, they respect me. I get a little problems out of Miss Brenda every now and then. But she know I'll knock upside her big head and try to kill her. But she the first bitch that want to call me when she go to jail. She get locked up and she calls me first. And I'm running down to Central Booking and her real mother's sitting there too. And she looking at me going, oh, Miss Cabbage, huh? And I'm like, ooh, 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 ooh. And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm. And I was like, oh, my God. And I go along with that because I know how these kids feel. You always cook collard greens on a low flame. Yeah, it's best because you're going to steam it, and you don't want it to cook real hard because it'll toughen up on you. So, yeah, I mean, it's just the way things go, honey, okay?
973-397, you're live on the air on Classic Tuesday. 973-397, you're live on the air on Classic Tuesday.
Hello?
Okay, I guess you're not. 347-528, you're live on the air on Classic Tuesday.
Hello, I have to get a great when you had said something about your kids, you know what I'm saying, that you'd be there stuff like that for them. I remember the night that you was there with me, you know what I'm saying, when I got into that fight out there in, at the Wednesday Night Rumble and stuff.
Eric? Yes, Eric.
Yes, mother. And the thing is that you got so many kids, how can you, I know you get a lot of arguments about, you know what I'm saying, who is your favorite, am I right? And how can you deal with that?
No, just from you.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, just from you.
Okay. No, but
okay.
How can you separate from your real kids or from your ballroom kids, though?
It's not easy. The reason why it's not easy is because, children in the house are ebony, like different children everywhere else. Sometimes they mean a lot too, but fortunate for me, I seem to kind of spread my love around to everybody. And if I can't spread my love around, you know what I do, Eric? We'll just have a big old dinner, and we'll sit around, and I'll just get everybody at one time on 115th Street. You know how it goes. I cook me a couple of turkeys, some ham, and if Jahar's in town, no ham. But, pot roast and a couple of pies and some macaroni and cheese, and we all sit down and we talk about things. This is how I get y'all all together. This is my way of getting y'all all together.
Okay.
So I can't have any favorites. The only reason why Joseph is so close to me because he lives with me. Remember, if you lived with me, Eric, it would be a different thing. Just like anything else, I love y'all all the same. I might be a little more mean. Y'all think I'd let Joseph get away with a lot. I do, because I know how he is, and I know how he is with me. So that's the only reason why. I mean, I give love to y'all. I chastise y'all all the same way. Only thing I ask y'all to do is respect me and to respect others and make sure others respect you. I'm a big person about that. But anything else? Come on, guys. Eric, I bend over backwards. And if you're right, if you're out and you get into something, if you're right, you're right. And if you're wrong, you're right. Now, when you're finished fighting or arguing or whatever, I'm going to pull you to the side and I'm going to let you have it if I think that you were inappropriate. But right then and there, while we're in front of this and while we're confronting this problem, you're my child. And I'm going to treat you as... Okay.
Baby, you're my child. If you're wrong, baby, you're wrong. You're right while you're there. But, baby, when we get home, I'm going to let you know that you was wrong.
You're motherfucking right. I let him know all the time when he jumps, because Eric has a bad temper. And I tell him all the time, sometimes you need to sit and listen and stop jumping to conclusions and stop being so vicious. And he's like, Mom, my ass. Because the trick of it is, you are out here and this shit happened. You could have got us all killed. Unfortunately, hey, we go, fuck it. Because as long as God gave you life, he also gave you death, too. So, you pick and choose your battles very carefully. And that's about it. Any more callers, Kelly?
Yes. 212-928, you're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
I know this number.
All right, Ms. Cabbage. I've been hearing you talk about parenting for a couple of hours now. It's a difference between parenting and child abuse, girl, because I didn't hear you talking about knocking Miss Brenda a couple of times tonight.
Everybody on the air telling you about my bestie, and I was telling you Alexander's my best friend, and I was telling you about my sister that lives uptown in Washington Heights that loves Spanish men, but she's married, unfortunately, so, you know, she's a
whole girl. Oh, privileged information!
She stays pre-married. But this is a person that got me, is two people, and she's one of the people that got me away from doing all those little dirty things that land you in school for bad girls and, you know, things of that nature. She helped me start up my catering business right along with the help of overseer Tim, and they stuck with me. They helped me get jobs. They helped me in a lot of ways. And these are kind of the people, these are the reason why I have kids, because I'm able to have kids because I make money enough where I can have kids and I can give dinner. I mean, me and Chaz and Tim, we're always here. I'm cooking. That's all I want to do is cook. I mean, that's all. As long as I can cook and my kids come over and eat and we play spades and we watch videos and we play PlayStation 3 online, that's a part of, you know, getting together. And throughout the night, one is having a relationship problem or somebody's having problems with their taxes or something's wrong with their banking account. And when you talk about banking, that's for Tim to deal with and any business minded. Then when you talk about advertisement and music, that's something that Chaz can deal with. So we get together in the House of Ebony as a collective with our kids. We have a support unit in the House of Ebony where we have a peer program. Like, all of us have five or six kids that we reach out to on a daily basis and that are not our kids. We make sure that we separate them from our kids so we don't show any favoritism. And we try to keep them together, you know, in some kind of leadership sphere that we can work together with them and we get to talk to them, because sometimes these kids don't need a lot. They just need somebody to talk to. They're in a confusing way. This is what a parent is. And it's not hard being a parent, like it's not hard for ballroom, but it's just that you have to be able to want to apply yourself, and you just have to be a giving person. So, Chaz, thank you. If I've never said thank you before, I'm saying thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you've showed me in the last 6 or 7 or 8 years. Maybe like 30-something now, yeah, because I'm like 20-something. Yeah, so, I mean, it's like thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are so welcome, and we need to work on your confidentiality of issues, because you know what? You can get sued right now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
This is Blog Talk Radio, honey. There's worse things on here than me. But thank you, Chaz. Kelly, do we have any more callers?
973-397. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesday.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Honey, hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. I can hear you, caller.
Okay. I was listening. I just wanted to make a comment. I'm very opinionated, and I never, ever say anything, but I wanted to just chime in because I thought the topic was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the gay parent thing, I am a gay parent, and I feel like it's hard, but at the same time, you know, I think it's worth it. Like, I have two gay children, and I personally feel that you should let your gay children choose you versus you choose them, because I feel like the connection is stronger. Because I feel like a lot of kids, they go out and they see a new kid and they're like, oh, I want to be your mother, I want to be your father. And it doesn't work out. A lot of times it's for the wrong reasons, you know, as other callers have stated. But, I mean, I feel like when they choose you and you choose to accept them, there's more of a bond there and more of a connection. And, you know, it's a different type of dedication to your child when they choose you. And, you know, you accept them choosing you. And I want to say that, as well as I agree with you when you said that you're an auntie to a lot of people. Like, I don't know how people have 10 and 15 gay kids, because if you do it the right way, I feel like 2-3 is enough, especially, like, if you're fully dedicated, like, fully, fully dedicated there for them, you know, through everything, whether it's financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I feel like it's a lot of work. It's like being a real parent. So, but I'm, like, a giver, So, like, if somebody needs advice, I'm like everybody's auntie. I'm there for everybody, but I can only handle family having, like, two kids. But, you know, I'm there for everybody. And I just wanted to chime in because I felt like it was a good topic because I do feel like there is a big difference between a house parent and a gay parent. And mainly just the whole gay parent thing, I really feel like it's a lot of dedication to your gay kids because you really want to stir them in the right direction because it's so easy for them to get off track. And, you know, also I'm going to say this because I'm ending, I'm going to stop. But I feel like with your gay kids, it's like a real parent. You can't tell someone not to be a whore and not to do certain things when they see you. Like if a young lady sees their mother, you know, having different men in and out of the house, whether it's to help pay bills or, you know, just for emotional support, and that young lady hits her 10 years and she starts sleeping around, it really looks stupid for the mother to call her, you know, a young whore or whatever, you know, she might want to call her and tell her, you know, you're not going to do that in my house. But what do you expect when she's seeing you do it? And I apply that to the scene. You know, you can't tell young kids not to do this, not to crash, not to pull stunts, not to do drugs, but they see you doing it. You know what I mean? Because it goes in one ear and went right out the other. So I just want to say those few things. And, you know, you guys.
And you know what? Honest with you, I got a small, quick, real fast story to tell you. I didn't start smoking weed or doing anything of any kind of nature until the last, oh my God, maybe four years ago. And all because I never thought I could handle it. You know what I never thought that it was a part of me. And then I had a daughter, which is now no longer my daughter, that she hates my guts or whatever the case might be. She told me one day, Mother, we're going to smoke. And I'm just going to sit in the house and we're going to smoke and we're going to eat and we're going to have fun. And I was like, oh, child, I ain't been smoking no marijuana. You must be crazy. Now I've learned how to smoke and enjoy myself. I can go to the club, have me a blunt before I go to the club and live and dance and don't feel like I'm paranoid because now I think I've grown up and I think I can handle it. And right along with handling many other things in my latter 30s, I learned to be more social. I mean, once I got my kids now, like Joseph and Kimajale and a few others, and even with Brenda, I stopped being so vicious and fighting all the time and you know, picking and really being fierce because I used to be really fierce. So I learned to grow up from my kids, and I learned that I can't all be so selfish and think about myself all the time, just getting ready, well, I'm this cabbage and fuck them, bitch, and you know, I'll fight and I'll... But then I find that other people take things out on my kids or they say things to my kids. So I learned to curb my mouth and to curb my appetite for fighting and being vicious and vindictive. And it seems to help me in a lot of manners. I mean, to be honest with you, because of some of my kids, I've learned to see things in a different light. You know what I'm saying? So I sit back and I realize that sometimes I don't have to approach things in that manner. And this is what they taught me. And this is really, like I said, I learned from them like they've learned from me. Only thing that I ask my kids to do is please respect me because my kids at one time would not get high at all, drink or nothing in front of me. And I thought that I was hindering them and I was being really fierce. So I used to turn away from them. Or, like, I would never go to the Get Right. And my older son used to get very, oh, mother, what are you doing here? And why are you at the Get Right? But I used to drop him off there all the time, not knowing what it was. Even at my age, I didn't know what it was. But after I got more children that dealt with that, I realized what it was. And because to me, Get Right was a bad place. Not for me to go there, and it wasn't for me, and I didn't get high or you know, to that extent or anything like that. So I learned just like anybody else learned, and I'm thankful for it.
Right.
Okay.
I see where you're coming from. I really do. I see where you're coming from.
Thank you very much. All right, bye-bye. Kelly, do you have any more callers, honey?
No more callers.
No more callers? Okay. So, like I was saying to you guys, being a parent is something that you really need to take seriously. And when you become a parent, become a person that you can give and you can help. But that doesn't always mean that you got to dig in your pocketbook. You know, sometimes maybe somebody needs to talk about family life. Or God knows, there could be a lot of things that, you know, your kids might want to talk about. And when somebody is there to listen to them, that's all they want. You know, sometimes they might want a hot meal or whatever the case might be. And I, believe it or not, I have no problems in cooking for anybody, not only my own health members and not only my own gay kids, because my gay kids have brought kids from the House of Nuclear here. And, you know, they want to talk to me, hold it, honey. Before we go through, what's your name? And she was like, and take off your hat in my house. And then, you know, they can be like, oh, she says, no, I'm not being serious. I'm not being serious. You're going to take your hat off. When I serve dinner, everybody makes a line to the bathroom first to wash their hands. Okay? And this is the way that we all sit down and we eat. And there'll be no talking while you got food in your mouth and being sloppy and everything. No. And then when my kids are finished eating, I'll tell everybody in a minute, come on, y'all, let's get these dishes together, and we'll do a round of applause. And, you know, that's the way our family unit works. And when they respect me the way my kids do, we get up, and I have no problem washing dishes. One will be sweeping the floor. Joseph will be dumping the garbage, vacuuming. We'll be setting up, some of the other side will be setting up the table for space. And this is how we work, and everything works in a flow. In my house, everything works in a flow, only because they respect me. And this is what I promote. Respect me, because if you don't, bitch, we can always put on our motherfucking sneakers and go outside. I don't give a fuck how big or how old you are or who you want to be. If you call me your mother and you call me 3 o'clock in the morning and wake me up out of my sleep because the boy just beat your ass or the boyfriend just slapped you or your boyfriend's cheating on you with somebody else and you want to know what you should do, then, bitch, you're going to respect me. Or I guess we're going to tear it down, and I guess we'll never speak no more. But you must respect me as being one of my children. And I don't pick my kids. I have yet to pick a child. I don't even know what that is to pick a child. Because I don't know how that works. I don't think I can walk up to nobody and go, I want you to be my daughter. Or I want you to be my son. How can you do that? I mean, I might not be what this person needs in a person. So I just let them come, and as many as come, I try to attend to them all individually. I usually deal with them in a group. If there's a problem, I get down and dirty like the rest of them. But my kids are usually pretty good, and I have 26 of them. So that's a lot. State to state, Florida, Baltimore, South Carolina, Atlanta, Ohio. I have kids all over. And my kids call me all the time. Baltimore, let me say Baltimore again before Miss Naima just, you know, give me the business. Yeah, and let me say Brooklyn. So, you know, this is how it goes. And I love them all. I don't have that many of them to me. Because I come from a pretty decently big family. My mother raised 5. My grandmother raised 13. So, I mean, come on. I mean, I cook in big pots anyway. So, Kelly, do you have any more callers?
No, we don't. The girls are just listening.
Yeah, Miss Naima, bitch, leave me alone. 26 kids, yeah, one daughter. Yeah, you, bitch.
We
anyway.
Oh, they're gone now.
Oh, okay. The 917 number?
Yeah, they're gone.
And, you know, people are telling me, oh, damn, all I have is 3. When I started out, that's all I had was 3, too, believe it or not, for many, 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 many years. That's all I had was 3.
You know what I learned? You know another thing that I learned as being a gay parent is that after a while, when you have kids and you guide them to where they need to be, and you go and you get other kids, and you get you a new set of kids, because they are the ones that you have, you already guided them to where they need to be. They either have a job, they have their own apartment, they're doing something with themselves. When you get new kids that you feel that you need to guide to where they need to be to, the old kids don't like that.
Oh, well, and my worst one, believe it or not, is Joseph. He hangs up. This one child used to call me, and believe it or not, the child was in the house and was Rahi, too. And the child used to call here, and she used to give her, yes, mother, and Joseph used to hang up on her. Hang up on her. One time he was in the village and Joseph told her she'll never be your mother. So stop calling her and get the fuck away from her. And I told Joseph, don't you ever say that again. Don't you ever, because you don't know what that young man is going through. You don't know why he wants me to be his parent. You don't know what's the reason. And Joseph would tell me, Joseph will walk away from me and then he'll wait until I get home and he'll give her, I don't know why any motherfuckers hanging and I don't want them to be your mother. I don't want you to be their mother. I don't want them over here. And then Joseph is bad. Joseph is really bad with me. I think I've spoiled Joseph rotten.
Yeah, and Foxy is the same way. Foxy is the same way.
Baby, they don't like to share nothing. They don't give a fuck how old they get. 90 years old, you're going to still be there. And they only want you to be their mother. So, like I told Joseph, what I give you, and now you're getting a little older, would you like for me to give it to somebody else? I mean, and now Joseph is a parent. He has kids. And I tell him all the time, when they come in here, Juicy and Jay, they come in here and they sit and they be talking, and he be talking about something else. See? Now you see the difference? Being a parent is not, you don't choose them. They choose you. But the reason why they choose you is because there's something that they see in you that they need from you or something that they're comfortable with. You see what I'm saying? But Joseph is really bad. Joseph and Mark and Eric are my worst ones. Naima don't give me too much problem because she likes to shed love to everybody. But Eric and Mark and Joseph, tragic. Just tragic.
Mm-mm.
You going out tonight, Kelly?
I was thinking about it, but I don't know. I was already in Manhattan, and then I came back to the Bronx so I could do the show, and I don't know if I want to go back to Manhattan again. But I told everybody I was going out because, you know, today is Nicole's birthday, and everybody's going to the club to celebrate Nicole's birthday. So I have to see. I don't know yet. Honey, I'm trying to find me a dress.
Do you just have one made?
Yes. Hold on. We have another caller.
Okay, baby.
8-0-3-0-8. You're live on the AL Classic Tuesday.
Hey, what's going on, Tabby? This is JJ.
Hi, JJ, honey.
Hey, what's going on? I'm sorry I'm late tuning in, but I did catch the little part that I was busy earlier, but I did catch the part about the gay kids and stuff. I just wanted to thank you for your hospitality this weekend when I was up in New York and for the love and the food you cooked me and stuff. I really appreciated it. Or whatever.
Let me ask you a question, JJ. Do you have a gay mother?
No.
No? Oh, do you have a gay father?
I have a gay father, yes.
You do? Okay. In a simple instance, now, I don't know if you have a gay mother or a gay father or whatever the case might be, but when you come to my house, you're my child. Now, when you leave, you don't have to be my child. Okay, and I understand it. But while in my house, while in my dwelling, I am the leader of this maison, and I choose
right.
You as such. I served your food to you. I do everything. I'm really motherly, and I'm really nurturing. All right, but let me ask you a question. Could you see why children like to be my kids?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the reason, and this is something I do naturally. This is not nothing. I wasn't looking for any accolades, or I wasn't getting no brownie points, and I damn sure wasn't getting paid for it. You see what I'm saying? But I treat all kids that come around me the same way. And my kids don't like it. My kids don't like it. But you're not going to tell me who I can give my love to. You know, sometimes you just give because it's easy to give love. Ooh, what's that?
Hello? Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, so if that's the way it is, JJ, and thank you very much. And like I said, happen to be with some function that you need to walk, let me know ahead of time, and I'll make room for you somewhere. You got some place in mind, because you're very quiet and you're a sweet person. And don't worry, you'll find a gay mother soon, okay?
All right.
Okay, so Trent. Are there any more callers, Kelly?
No. Not yet. We got 8 minutes left to the show, girls. Call in.
Huh?
I'm sorry. We got 8 minutes left to the show, girls. Call in.
Yeah, here comes my bad one just walked in. See that cat, Joseph?
Yes.
Yeah. Cat running around crazy.
You can
look at your listen, Kelly. It's kind of nice. Put on a pair of jeans. And, you know, an Air Max, put your hair up in a ponytail, and put a little T-shirt on in the denim jacket, and going out to the club.
You
should make it a
non-pocket
book night.
I'm talking about the final dress for next weekend. You know, I'm muscle, so every time I go out, I'm always dressed up. I don't go outside. I don't go out being just kind of anymore since I've been mother, so I'm looking for a dress for next week.
So, well, yeah, you know, you girls have it hard. Honey, that's why I could never do that. I could never do that stunt. Ooh, I can't do that. I just can't. But, I mean.
That's another topic that we need to talk about. Everybody wants to get up in woman clothing and think that it's easy to be a woman. It's not. It's a hard fucking job.
And it is. And it is. And mind you, Kelly, I remember when you, you know, when you were, you know, that other person that you left in way back in the back of your closet. And you made a gigantic transition, honey. And it seems like you just keep turning it more and more and more and more and more. So, I mean, I just got a credit card in the mail. Anyway, throw it away.
I just love the evolution of just being a woman and being able to transform yourself from this look to that look. It's amazing. Mind you, I was telling somebody the other day, if they were to ask for big girl's face with a new look, I don't think I'd be able to walk.
Because I don't think you were walking long enough, and I don't think you want to give a new look.
If they test for a new look, I don't think I would be able to do it. I don't been bald headed, I don't been blonde, I don't been short hair, long hair. Bitch, I don't been everything, bitch. I would have to totally reconstruct like metal and all types of shit out of my head for a new look.
If you want to do that, I feel like thinking of a new look, peel.
Ooh,
peel up out of this. What about, you know, Mother U-Haul? When Mr. Williams was still your U-Haul and had your EBD card in there, and it was a brand new one. Kelly, are you there?
Hey, girls, do we got any more callers? Anybody else want to say anything before we get up out of here, honey? I'm saying, what the fuck? Hey, Jason. Hey, Jua.
Where is Jason at?
Gay-Tay is in New York?
No, she called me yesterday. She's coming to New York this weekend for her birthday. So me and Gay-Tay is going to hang out. Because while I was in Detroit, Miss Gay-Tay showed me so much love. I mean, Miss Gay-Tay came to my hotel. We sat and we talked. We chit-chat. I never knew Miss Gay-Tay was like that. But me going to Detroit, I think Gay-Tay is just so one, and these hats, she changes into these amazing hats, and they're just so stylish, and Gay-Tay is such a lady, and we just talked, but mind you, we talked about everything, we talked about weather, stock exchange, media. I had fun in Detroit, and that's the first time I've been to Detroit in many years, okay, because you know I've known Goddess for God 20 years. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, she's supposed to be here in New York next week for her birthday.
That's from the guy, right?
Oh, no, that's right. Work it out, J.K. He's probably here.
Oh, there goes another one of mine. Miss Tuna that didn't finish the other day. But, yeah, but, so, I mean, how much more time we got left, Kelly?
About 4 minutes left to the end of the show.
Okay, so, Kelly, what do you feel I should make a topic next week?
You know what I want to do next week? I want to pick up on the topic that they had on the red carpet. I want the icons and all of them back up here so we can finish talking about all of these changes that's happening in the ballroom scene.
So I'm going to work on, I'm going to get in touch with you. You know, me and you got the same phone now. So I'm going to get in touch with you, and we're going to try to get, three or four people in the collective?
Tony, Stuart, Andre, all of them up here so we can, like, really finish that topic, like, really finish that topic. Because it's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that they touched on the red carpet that we need to really touch on and, like, really get it going.
Okay. So I'll get in touch with Stuart. Who did you say, Dre? Stuart?
Dre,
no.
Dre, Dre, Stuart, Tony Redlock, all of them.
Okay, so I'm going to get in touch with Stuart. I'm going to get in touch with Dre. You know, me and Tony know each other for years because right here from Brooklyn Harbor Project. So, you know, me and his sister are really close. So I'm going to get in touch with Tony, and we're going to collaborate on it, and I guess we'll do that on Tuesday.
Yes, definitely on Tuesday, Eddie.
I mean, if you're going to make it tasty, we might as well make it Tuesday.
I know you told me to wear it.
I'm out of here. I'm the legendary overall East Coast mother of Austin, Mizrahi. I love you all for loving me. And like I told you, every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the life you save will be your own. Wrap it up and practice safe sex or no sex at all.
Everybody out here on Blog Talk Radio and everything, all my kids, all my aunts, all my nieces, all my nephew, everybody, thank you for listening in and chiming in with me and Kelly. Hopefully we'll have a better show for you next week, something different, something more inviting. Just please, you guys, when you go out to the club and you're hanging out and you do wherever you're at, please just keep in mind that 64% of our homosexuals in this city don't know. So you treat everybody like they have something. Wrap it up. And know that I can be a bitch sometime, and I know I'm real shady and fierce, but anytime if you're in the street and something's wrong and you need to ask me a question or you need to know something or somebody's beating you up or you're being harassed or you're having any problems, just come to me. I mean, I'm not the best bitch in the world, but I'm better than nothing. So please, everybody, wrap it up and just have a safe night, and thank you for listening. All right, everybody, bye-bye.
I can be a freak. 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 Every day of every week.
This is something that I love. Listen, I'm about to teach. Every single girl should embrace that inner freaky freak. Don't be scared, don't be shy, if you gotta let it breathe. I can give instructions if you like to hear me speak. Let me see those handcuffs off, let me see them never get. Kissing, clapping, pull up here, breaking your bitch in here. You wanna see you get down low, you wanna hear you, here you go.
I can be a freak every day of every week.
However you want it, however.